Blog Talk Radio.
Two, three, four.
Bring
suffering to my people.
Thank you.
All right. Greetings and welcome to another edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are so happy you are joining us tonight for this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. As you can tell, we're starting out tonight with some hard-hitting kinds of concepts, ideas, and messages. Indeed, the time has truly come, or it's really past time, but it's definitely here that people are beginning to really not only stand up, but to do the things that really need to be done. And it has become quite evident that it is absolutely necessary. Tonight's program is going to demonstrate that or provide information that brings about quite a bit of clarity as to why it is so important to do what some are presently doing and will be doing in the future. Again, we welcome you to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. And with that, we're getting ready to go into the month of May. And there's going to be a lot going on that month, and actually, I dare say, for the entire summer. At any rate, tonight we're going to have a very candid conversation. And so for those of you who received the e-blast and a few of the kinds of text messages, you might have noticed that it gave a warning. It gave a warning in that it said tonight's program was going to be rather hard-hitting. At any rate, we are definitely going to make sure that we see that there's an error that occurred in one of our communications, so we're going to have to change that. Wow, didn't realize that that had happened. Greetings, shout out to Sister Sheila. She is, of course, in Geneva. I didn't know she was gone yet, but good thanks, she is. Again, family, apparently there was a glitch in the link, so we're going to have to change that. At any rate, tonight, again, is going to be pretty powerful, pretty hard-hitting. And so as we make the corrections that we need to make here, we're going to get ready to bring on Brother Raza Khan Shaheed. As mentioned earlier, tonight's program is going to be very hard-hitting. And when I say that, it's going to be no holds barred. It's also going to maybe be a little disturbing for some. But in either case, it's going to be very informative and certainly enlightening. With that said, when we talk to Brother Raza Khan Shaheed, who, of course, is a researcher, he is known to be a jailhouse lawyer, as some would say. And since coming from being behind bars, he has helped many. He has helped many while he was incarcerated, but he has helped many while he's been out to really help brothers and sisters to navigate through this system, and has worked on several cases, several issues dealing with injustice of our people. Well, tonight we're going to talk with Brother Raza Khan, and he is going to break down for us, would you believe, the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're going to kind of go back a little bit to really put things into perspective. And with that said, begin to really get a better understanding as to what has happened in the case of Mumia. Now, many are aware, of course, of what has happened in these past 40 years with them being incarcerated and so forth and so on. But many may not know of some of the intricacies when it comes to the political dynamics. And so with that said, we're going to talk to Brother Raza Khan tonight to get some insight into that. So y'all better hold on, because this is definitely going to be, I would dare say, more than just interesting. This is going to be something that needs to be said, needs to be better understood. And with that said, Black folks, African people must now not only stand up, but begin to really move things forward in such a way that throughout the diaspora, Mumia's name is well known or better known. It is just as in when Nelson Mandela, the struggle for him to be free was in effect. Well, we need to do something similar here for Brother Mumia. And certainly with Mama Pam and others, the movement to free Mumia, needless to say, has been extensive and certainly definitely, you know, we know it has been a lot of hard work that has gone into the campaigns over these years. But we must also now be cognizant of some other factors. And so that our people in particular have a better understanding of what it is that has happened and what it is that is happening and what it is that we need to do, well, we're going to break it down for you tonight, family. Before we do, I want to also let you know what tonight's program is going to entail. And it is going to also be a salute to our great warrior, attorney, and now ancestor, Brother Alton Maddox. Brother Alton Maddox made transition this week. And needless to say, the going home services are going to be on Monday. And we're going to give you some updates and information on that because there has been a couple of changes from what I am learning. But at any rate, we just lost I can't even begin to describe him. I'm hoping that later on we'll get some of the family from New York to join in with us to talk a little bit about Brother Alton and some of the contributions, some of his work as it pertains to the fight for Black justice and liberation. And certainly when we look at Mumia Abu-Jamal, you know, it was very interesting that particularly when there were some key things going on with Brother Mumia, Brother Alton and the family, the African Movement family, United African Movement family from New York would bring a busload down, always in support of Mumia. And we kind of found it kind of interesting, their commitment, their consistency in doing so over the years. And it was kind of almost ironic, but also sad to see that here you had a bus coming in from New York, and yet Black folks right here in Philadelphia, for the most part, would not even, you know, reach the number that came in from the buses. And so that's something else that we want to begin to examine as well, because something is really very interesting about that, and we need to take heed to that and understand it a lot better as well. And so, again, family, we're going to give a special salute to Brother Alton Maddox and his great work. Before we do, we want to also let you know that Sister Gwen should be joining us as well, Gwen DeBrow. She should be joining us. And, of course, she is with the Mumia Health Committee, and so she will be giving us an update on Mumia. And also, we're going to talk with our brother, one of our We Charge Genocide representatives. We're going to be talking with Brother Alton. I have Alton on my mind. Brother Adrian Hickman is going to be joining us from Louisiana. You know, next month, we are going to kick off on May 13th, as a matter of fact, our national launching for the campaign to fight all forms of violence and abuse of our women and girls. Just us. That's what we call it, just us. And with that, of course, we're going to begin to really put things in motion to make sure that the increase of all types of violations of our sisters is now lessened. And so tonight, as in the next couple of days, we're putting a special call out to brothers, Black men. We call them the serious Black men who are really ready to stand with us and with one another to really now stop what is going on in our communities nationwide. And we're talking about, the increase of violence and abuse of our women and girls. And we're not talking about just beatings. We're not talking about just stalkings and other things of that nature. We're talking about literally the increase of rape, the increase of molestation, and certainly of murder. We really have to begin to look at this as an epidemic now, because the numbers of missing Black women and girls, kidnapped, and so forth is off the hook. And we've got to now show that that is, in fact, happening. And so, again, family, we'll tell you more about that as we proceed. Again, the May 13th should be a date that I would think anyone who has a level of consciousness would remember, because it's also the anniversary of when the bomb was dropped here in Philadelphia. And so, needless to say, on May the 12th, I will be doing a live interview by Zoom and I think Facebook with Ramona Africa. Again, that'll be a special edition of New Day, but we'll probably be on Zoom. We may be on the blog, but we definitely will be on Zoom and maybe Facebook. And again, that will be a live session with Ramona Africa. And we will be talking about, of course, the anniversary of the bombing here in Philadelphia. And, of course, conveying to you how the We Charge Genocide 21 Project is, of course, going to cite that as we proceed in taking our issues to the United Nations. That, of course, is one of the modern day genocidal acts that we will be citing. So that should be a very, very interesting dialogue. And certainly, for those that do not know, you know, the University of Pennsylvania and another Ivy League college literally utilized some of the remains of the children from the bombing of 1985 for some of their classes. Yes. And so, again, we'll be able to give you some updates and insight into some of that as well. All right, so listen, before we get ready to get down to the nitty-gritty, again, we want to remind you that, one, we're going to be talking with Brother Razakhan Shaheed very shortly, and we're going to talk to Sister Gwen DeBrow, who is also, again, a part of the health committee from Mumia Abu-Jamal, and we're going to be talking with Brother Adrian Hickman. Oh, and I left out a very important part of that conversation. For those who do not know, you know, racism is nothing new to us, but sometimes the blatantness of it is not new, but it is interesting to kind of take note of it. And so we're going to be sharing very shortly a conversation with Brother Adrian as he introduces to us one of the latest situations that took place in Louisiana. And it was, you know, we call white folks now, we call them off-white. Well, at least some of us do. That's our phrase, is off-white. And so there's an off-white senator who had the audacity to not only cuss out a fellow senator, elected official, a Black woman who he cussed out and literally, according to the reports, put his fingers in their face. And so, hold on, family. We're waiting for him to call in.
This is me. Been trying to call in since 10:45. Something keep telling me I had to use some special code.
Okay. I'm going to call you right now, Roz. Hang up.
Okay.
All right, we were ready for Brother Raz to call in, so we're going to go ahead and call him because he's been trying to get in. And here we go with some crazy stuff for the technology. But anyway, as I was saying, we are definitely going to talk more with Senator Regina Barrow, who is the senator that the off-white senator decided to cuss out and put his fingers in her face. So we're going to have a conversation about that very, very shortly. All right, so let me see, family. Hold on one moment. We're going to dial up Brother Raza Khan. Those of you who are waiting to come in, please bear with us because we need to bring Brother Raza in. And I see that you all have your hands up. You're ready to conversate, and we're going to come to you very shortly. In the meantime, though, give me a few moments because I got to make a few adjustments on our end. So let's try this. Hold on. Okay, here we go. There we are. Let's try to... One number. Cancel. Nope. Forget that one. Let's try again. Hold up, family. That was the wrong number. Okay. All right, this should be the right number. Let's try that. Let's see.
Hello?
Greetings, Brother Raz.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had to run and get Pam's phone because mine wouldn't go through for some reason.
Okay,
can
did
you
hear
want
me to call you? Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, you said you can call me on my phone?
Yeah, you need to text me the number, though.
Okay. Let me do that.
Do you want me to call the new phone.
Huh?
Do you want me to call you on the house number?
No, I'm not in the house. We down in North Carolina.
Okay. All right.
Let me just plug her charger in so the phone don't cut off, and I'll stay on her phone. Is that good?
Okay, that's good because we're on live now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're on live now. Yeah. See, we have a program, so we are live now.
Okay. Good enough.
Okay, so do you want me to give you a few minutes? Because I probably can get somebody, one of our family members to come in who, you know, just want to share some information. So if you need a few minutes, I can probably give you a few minutes to do that.
Well, I'm straight, but you can give them a few minutes if you want to, if they're waiting online or something.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead and plug in so that we don't get interrupted. And I'm going to go to caller at 6886. We're going to bring you in for a few moments while Brother Raz gets set up. 6886, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Hi, good evening, Sister Chi. This is Gwen.
Hi, Sister Gwen. Oh,
hi,
great.
How are you?
That was a good one, right on time. Okay, well, yeah, wonderful. Thank you for checking in. And while we're waiting for Brother Raz to get set up, maybe you can just share with folks, you know, who you are and the role you play in MUMIA's health committee. And if there's any updates on that, you could certainly share that with us for a few minutes now while we're waiting for Brother Raz.
Family, MUMIA just celebrated his 69th birthday this past Monday on April the 24th. And the day before that, we had a rally in Philadelphia for him. Excuse me, nature call. And it was very well attended. It was at this art center in the heart of Philly. And there's a beautiful, what would you call it, painting on the wall right outside the art center. I believe it's on 52nd. Yeah, I believe it's on 52nd and Market.
Mhm.
And it was a good turnout. It was outdoors, and Gabe Bryant facilitated the program for the most part, and Mumia's son stopped by and gave us some words of encouragement, and he told us about his visit with his dad, and they talked about Wadia, of course, because Wadia, Mumia's wife, passed last year just before the new year. We lost Wadia, Mumia's wife, for, I believe, they were married for over 30 years, which is a very long time. She held it down. There are not many women that would stick with somebody for 30 plus years, being separated with him in prison.
Yeah.
All of those years. And they have a daughter together who also passed a number of years. What is her name? It's on the tip of my tongue, her name. But anyway, yeah, Mumia has suffered a lot of losses, unfortunately. His sister died some years ago, also of breast cancer. And, of course, he's lost his mom long ago. But, you know, that's a lot. His mom, women. His mom, his daughter, and now his wife.
Yeah,
it's 41
yeah.
years now that Mumia has been locked away in a prison for something the state knows darn well that Mumia did not do. They know darn well because of his character. Someone who was a rising journalist, radio journalist,
mm-hmm.
who the slightest thing, Mumia wasn't gonna kill any. You know, a cop, that's not his makeup. He's not a violent person at all. Very gentle person. I met him a few years ago. But nonetheless, we're at a point where Mumia doesn't have a lot of options, unfortunately. At this point, legally, they're probably going to be, I don't know whether they're going to appeal the case with Judge Clemens, because she denied his appeal. And basically, her reasons, there were two reasons mainly she gave. One was a time bar issue,
mm-hmm.
In regards to the jury selection and whether blacks were dismissed from being a part of the case because of their race. It wasn't on the issue. I mean, basically you could say, okay, it's a time bar, but the fact is that is what happened. She's not, when she says it's a time bar, she's not denying that it happened. She's just saying, well, it's too late. Could you imagine? which doesn't make sense when you think about it. If something is legal, it shouldn't be a time bar on something. If something is against the Constitution and against common law practices, that you cannot keep a person off of a jury because of the color of their skin, which is definitely illegal. She's not saying that. She's just saying, well, even if that was the case, it's too late. His lawyer should have litigated that issue, a while ago, which they did. They did try to litigate it. But anyway, so, and then the other issue was the Batson issue, which had to do with witnesses being paid to testify against a defendant. And actually, it's funny because in one of the hearings, I wasn't there, but from what I heard, the district attorney had the nerve to say, well, we regularly pay witnesses to testify. Well, that doesn't sound very – that doesn't give you very much confidence in a verdict. If someone is being paid to testify, That doesn't sound very legitimate to me. And also, we also learned that one of the key witnesses, the cab driver, Robert Chobert, was also being driven around and was given a hotel stays. They paid for hotel for him to pay to spend a few nights in a hotel. Why? I mean, he's a Philadelphia resident. I don't know why he needed to stay in a hotel, but they apparently drove him around and he stayed in a hotel. And you know, they willingly admit, well, we pay witnesses. They don't say it like that, but they basically say that they're proposing like it's like a stipend or something, which, you know, come on. Really, anyway, so the judge, Clemens, basically said that that didn't matter. It wouldn't have changed the outcome of the verdict, which is bogus, because if the jury had known that the two main witnesses, the prostitute Cynthia White and Robert Chobert, were being paid to testify against a working, well-known journalist, I think that would have made a huge difference in the case. And how does she know that it wouldn't have the outcome wouldn't have been different? Is she a magician or a forecaster? Anyway, yeah. So Mumia has a tough road to hoe at this point. He's got to go to a higher court, and the higher courts aren't necessarily friendly to Mumia as well. So at this point.
Yeah, that puts it mildly. I mean, they're not only not friendly, they're quite hostile.
Exactly. They're quite hostile. And we really don't have much room, except we do have the people power. It's not by any means over. Because, like I said, there was a robust turnout for the Philadelphia rally and march for Mumia. And there were some other demonstrations as well. I believe there were demonstrations in San Francisco, and there might have been something in another part of California. I can't remember. And Mumia has international support as well in Germany and in France. So we're not done. We're not giving up, because we can't let an innocent man sit in prison for the rest of his life for something that he did not do. That's not going to sit well with us. And we're not going to give up. It's now up to people around the world and locally who know about the case to come out in droves, and that's going to make the difference, because people out in the street make things happen. They pay attention to stuff like that. They watch the people in the judges, you know, they watch the news just as much as we do, and they take a temperature of what's happening. So at this point, it's up to us to raise the bar and to support Mumia as much as we humanly possibly can do. That means financially, and that means physically, being out on important dates regarding his case. Like, I know in July 3rd coming up is going to be the anniversary of the sentencing. So I don't know what all is planned. But there will be something done to remember that, that conviction during the 4th of July weekend in 1982. That's when he was convicted, July 3rd, 1982. But
okay.
I'm a part of the health committee, and I'm also a part of the Love Not Fear campaign as well, and we meet every Wednesday. So if anybody's interested in being a part of either one of those meetings, you're very welcome to join me, just shoot me an email at gdwhy55@gmail.com. That's G as in go, D as in Deborah, the word Y, W-H-Y, 55@gmail.com, and I'll have someone add you to our outreach committee, and you can be a part of those meetings on Wednesday, and we meet on Monday, every other Monday.
All right. Great. Good. Thanks. Thank you, Sister Gwen. Let me just check in to see his brother Rob. Brother Roz, are you ready yet?
Yes, yes, I am. How's
okay,
everybody?
Great. Great. All right. Well, let me wrap up with Sister Gwen. Hey, Sister Gwen, thank you so much again. And as usual, you know, you're always on point, on time, and certainly we're going to push on in this fight to free our brothers. So thank you again, Sister Gwen.
Oh, you're very welcome. And as far as Mumia's health is concerned, physically he's fine. But, you know, emotionally it's got to be, you know, weighing on him that this decision, you know, didn't go the way we had hoped it would go. And like I said, he's still in mourning about his wife. So, yeah, physically he's doing way better. But we don't know how long that's going to be because let's not forget he still has congestive heart failure.
Yeah. So
those are the things, you know. So it's a time, you know, talk about a time bar. You know, we got to get him out of there. That helps.
All right. All right, good things. Thank you again, my sister.
All right,
so we are ready now to talk with Brother Roz. And I'm just really, I think many are really waiting to hear this report. So, Brother Roz, we have you now. And let's first let's start off with just, you know, sharing with our family a little bit about you. Of course, some of our listeners are very familiar with you, but I'm sure there's some that are not. So let's just give folks a little bit of insight into you, what you do, and why you do it.
Okay, thanks, Seth. But let me first make a tribute to Attorney at War Alden Maddox, who just passed recently.
Yeah.
But I've been looking on, you know, the TV, the computers and all that, and I didn't hear Al Sharpton say anything about Alden Maddox, you know what I mean? Especially after he beat a 41 charge indictment he had, you know, the state had against him. You know what I mean? That was what created most of all of his problems, you know what I mean, beating them.
Absolutely.
Like they did. And you know, looking at the computer, I look at Facebook, Google, all my computer stuff, and there was no mention of that particular case. All the news did was propaganda. Propaganda machine did was disparage his name, you know, trying to rewrite history by black faces in high places. I mean, that's how they do what they do. You know what I mean? They pretend we have a power when we have none. Those same black faces in high places will make sure they maintain the status quo. That's their job. First, let me explain. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't, you know, give people advice. I give them information, you know, because
right.
The government tried to lock me up a few years ago about that. You know what I mean? Simply saying that what I told people is exactly what they did. But what I told them was exactly what the information, what the law required, you know,
right.
So they could do it themselves. You know, I'm a certified paralegal, and I know the law, but I deal mostly with constitutional law and the Code of Federal Regulations. Because the Constitution guarantees us no one is above the law. I mean, no
right.
one. But we had to make them, we had to, you know, we had to make them uphold that creed. And basically, that's what we don't do.
Yeah. Well, basically, because the world has not seen such a diabolical murderous government like this one, the Creator has sent us help. through signs that, you know, we be easily recognized to defeat the monster. We are tools
yes.
of justice. We don't see it that way. You miss the door that the Creator opens for you. You know, we are all here to help or do the best we can for each other. Other than that, we're just wasting our time. You know what I mean? And because we have a problem seeing the truth. Because as
right.
a people, we've been conditioned to beg our oppressors to look for favors. Just about all of our politicians are like that. And we allow
right.
them to insult us by pretending to represent us.
Mm.
We have been, well, you know, there's a whole lot of things that I want to say, but I'm going to touch on quite, well, just a few things, you know what I mean? Because technically, we are the power. If you understand how this government is supposed to work, Congress is we the people. You know what I mean? We are supposed to make the laws. We are supposed to. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Go ahead, Brother Rob. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I thought I got cut off. I'm on Pam's phone. It cuts off like crazy. Yeah. But why is Congress usurped of their power? And totally disrespected because they refuse to do their job. The other
right.
branches of government know that and run right over them. For example, those who when subpoenaed, I mean when Bush first came in, Congress, the Republicans that went in and lied, like Jeff Sessions, EPA chief Truitt, education secretary Betty DeVos, treasury secretary Stephen Manchin, health and human service secretary Tom Price, Trump advisor Jared Kushner, all went into a confirmation hearing and lied. When called back, they all offered some lame excuse that was accepted by our cowardly Congress, which was an abuse of their authority to do. And I don't want nobody to just take my word for it. I'm going to give you a statute. You just look it up for yourself. Then give them a go-home pass free. 18 U.S.C. Code 1001 states in part, except as otherwise provided in this section, whenever in any manner, with the jurisdiction of the executive or judicial branch of the government of the United States knowingly and willfully falsifies, conceals, or cover up by any trick, scheme, or device a material fact, makes any false, fictitious, or fraudulent statement or representation, or makes make use of any false writing or documents, knowing the same to be contained any materially false, fictitious, or fraudulent statement or entity, shall be fined under this title, imprisoned no more than 5 years or both. Then Congress tells us they were not under oath, so it's nothing they can do. You know, that's what they tell us. We have to vote line Republicans out of office and put Democrats in. Anytime you lie to Congress, it's against the law, whether under oath or not. What we must do is hold whoever we put in office accountable. But to do that, to know what their job is and they follow and make them follow the law. This is what we constantly do. Just listen to nonsense that they be giving us. You know what I'm saying? And we accept that. And because, I have to say a few things because I have been accused of being verbally abusive and insulting and right out rude. I represent Nation Time Judicial Research. We get
right.
no money from nowhere because I won't change my mission statement. Most of my folks are incarcerated. We are 400 strong, and some may never get out of prison. Most of them are certified paralegals, and we have put thousands back in court. This is my only concern. So excuse me if I really don't give a fuck about whose feelings I hurt. We fight to win. The Creator always opens a door for the righteous individuals, but only those with whose hearts are pure will take that advice, take advantage of that, because getting that person out of jail would get them nothing extra, so they think. Moomin is a movement cash cow, and those close to the money don't give a fuck how long he stay there or what misery he's going through, as long as the cash keep flowing from the sidelines. From the sidelines, I watch. Moomin Abu-Jamal's lawyer has fucked up every open door that the Creator has extended to him. And I ask myself, why? You must not win every time a door opens, but go in there fighting like hell. You know what I mean? And if I just go over Moomin's case, you know, when he first started in 2007, you know what I mean, in the federal court, represented by Robert Bryant, who was supposed to be one of the best lawyers on the planet. The court hearing was to challenge Philadelphia's horrific judge and jury discrimination record. When federal judge Anthony Sakura asked attorney Bryant, where is the analytical statistics were, you know, proving or showing the discrimination of the 150-person jury pool used in Moomin's trial. Attorney Bryant said, unfortunately, I do not have one. He said, we're a day late and a dollar short. And I'm saying to myself, who are they fucking kidding? That's why they were in court. You mean to tell me you don't have the material to prove that what you're saying is true? That's how he lost that. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying the Creator opens doors. They opened that door for Moomin, and the lawyers messed it up. You know what I mean? And the Voting Rights Act was in the crosshairs of the Republican who wanted to change the law. One man stood in their way, Debo Abdu-Dabi, who was President Obama's acting civil rights chief, who single-handedly kicked their asses so the Republicans could not change the voting laws, because it was a Democratic president who recommended Abdu-Dabi. The Republicans had to get Democrats to vote against it, even if that meant we may never vote again. To do that, they used the fact that Abdu-Dabi once worked while at the NAACP defense, signed off on a brief by Moomin. Signed off on a brief of Moomin Abu-Jamal, and they used that against Abdu-Dabi. The Creator opens doors. More than half the Senate was against him, while the whole world watched as they demonstrated and vilified, demonized and vilified Moomin. I personally never heard a word in defense of Abdu-Dabi from Moomin or Moomin by the NAACP legal defense position was they don't openly defend a client, even if he's being openly and unjustly attacked. Not even if the whole world, you know what I mean? Not even to tell the whole world that they have evidence of his innocence. To my understanding, and then according to the Supreme Court, Strickland versus Washington. Folks, look this shit up. 466 U.S. 668. This came out in 1984. That's effective assistant counsel. Although Washington lost his case, it was established anytime a defendant comes under attack, a lawyer has a duty to represent him. If not, they have no counsel. And Moomin, during all those vicious attacks, had no counsel. Most folks are in awe of reputations and institutions. But with me, I watch their work. Follow Moomin's case with me and tell me what I am missing. He has top-notch lawyers, Judith Ritter,
Widen the University, Samuel Spittle, NAACP Legal Defense. And let me put this in there, too, before I forget it. When Mumia, they got seven Democrats to cross over to fire Abdi Dele. The
yes.
NAACP Defense got a $40 million anonymous gift, anonymous donation. You know what I mean? People got to understand how powerful Mumia is, how powerful we are. You know what I'm saying? And these people will pay anything to keep themselves in power. And we must see it. You know, all that old bullshit about, what lawyer's doing this and what lawyer's doing that. Watch they work. You know what I'm saying? Larry Krasner was elected district attorney in December. Judge Tucker granted all of Mumia's appellate rights back, all of them. And his lawyers appealed that. So what do you want this other black law judge to do? Come in there and stick her head on a chopping block so these no-good lawyers of Mumia's can come in there and chop their goddamn head off too. But they didn't fire Tucker. What they did was move him up in rank. You know what I mean? But the thing was, he would never be able to get another case like Mumia. I'm saying he gave Mumia his appellate rights, and his lawyers appealed. And if somebody
wow.
can prove, and then another thing in that particular law, what it says is once a judge, whatever judge that gives you your appellate rights, he has the authority to give you bail. They never even asked for it.
Okay,
I'd like to hear him defend
them. Stop right there for 1 minute, because what you just shared is so powerful and dynamite. I just want to recap for 1 minute, just in case folks didn't quite get what you just said. Let's back up just a little bit. Now, Judge Tucker, let's go back to him for a minute, because remember, some folks aren't familiar with this part. Okay, so take your time. Let's go back. 2019,
yeah.
We're talking about, right?
Well, when he gave him his public rights back?
Yes.
Well, I have to get the exact date.
I think it was 2019.
No,
but regardless of the date,
December the 24th, 2018, Judge Tucker granted all of Mumia's appellate rights back.
Wow.
Four days later, Krasner finds six boxes of so-called just found Mumia's evidence. I mean, why would his lawyers even accept that shit? You know, where did it come from? Who's to say who put something in there? Who took something out? You know, if they were saying it was all the Mumia stuff, where is the clothes that Mumia got shot in if all of his evidence is in that box? Man, these people is ridiculous. They should have put in a motion to dismiss, prosecutorial misconduct. Even if they didn't get it, they still got to give him another, let them see what's in the box. You know, top-notch lawyers don't make them kind of mistakes. All this shit is done on purpose. They can say what they want. And they can demonize me as much as they want. Prove me wrong. That's what I tell them. If anybody want to know what the motion for bail is, just check it up. 210 PA 1762. You know, bail when appeal is pending, application relating to bail when appeal is pending shall ordinarily first be presented to the trial court and shall be governed by the Pennsylvania Rules of Criminal Procedure, meaning submitting a bail application to the Judge Tucker would have been Mumia's best option, because he already gave him the appeal, and he laid out why he did. And all that other bullshit they put in there, they were saying he couldn't. If you read his Tucker's opinion, it looked like Mumia's lawyer did it. A lawyer did it for him because he shot down every opposition they had to him. And when the prosecutor was saying that, you know, they can't get this here because they procedurally barred. You know, they didn't file in time and all that old kind of shit. And Tucker told him, I'm not giving it to him on that. I'm giving it on the newly discovered evidence we found in them fucking boxes y'all had hid all these years. You know, the Supreme Court justice had wrote to the governor telling them to kill everybody on that got a police killing.
Wow.
It's indisputable.
Wow.
Now, what else did you want me to back up on? You know what I mean? If somebody got some questions, let me hear.
All right. Rod, stay right there before you go any further, because we're going to fast forward in a minute and talk about, of course, you know, the present situation with this present judge. But, family, what we want you to understand, overstand, if you may, is that based on what Brother Ross just shared, as of 2018 with the judge at that time, which was Judge Tucker, he had already opened the door, granted, and gave whatever was necessary for Mumia to be freed, to at least get bail. In 2018/19. And so we're sharing this information with all of you today, this evening, because it's time for the truth to be told. And while some have been leery about conveying some of this information, Mumia's life is a lot more important than folks being leery of sharing the truth. And I applaud Brother Roz. I applaud Mama Pam, of course, and anyone else that has stand up to tell us, help us to know what is and has happened. Now, with that said, family, you know what we do here. We don't bring you information just because, oh, it sounds good, or we're trying to excite you or anything like that. It's about what you're going to do. How do you get information? Factual, because everything Brother Ross said, he can back it up, as you can possibly hear now, and we're going to revisit some of, giving you some of those, you know, sites to go to or whatever. But the point is, after you notice, what you going to do? And this has been my particular issue with black folks in Philadelphia. Because while we already know this racist the freaking system does what it does, we are somehow afraid or unwilling to point out the Negro pens, the traitors, and others in our communities. And then the people who do that, you want to demonize them. Well, guess what? Like Brother Ross said, it ain't nobody doing much for me. So I say what I want to say and have done so. This is why I stay in trouble, and it's okay, because now I'm like, come on with it. But anyway, let's open up the phone lines to you all, family. If you have a question or a comment, you need to press 1 now, because as y'all can tell, this is hot and heavy. So let's go to, I know who this is. Let's go to caller 9498. 9498, your mic is open. And welcome to the segment, New Day. Come on, 9498. We ain't got all day. All right. Going, gone. Okay. All right. Let's go back to, I think Sister Gwen had a question. So let's go to Sister Gwen and get her question or comment. Sister Gwen, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
can
you have a question or a comment? Yep, I hear you. But please don't clear your throat in the phone. Listen, please, don't clear your throat or make any sounds, because your phone is like a microphone. All of that up.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, could you repeat the information about you said 40, the NAACP, Legal Defense Fund received $40 million after
Anonymous
Deli's
anonymous
confirmation was Nick's.
Can
you explain that? I'm sorry.
Or with the anonymous gifter requested that they do with the money is hire some voting rights lawyers, because he know they gonna need them. They done killed all our voting rights, so we can't get in. We can't vote. Knowing that the Republicans was getting ready to destroy all the voting rights. So the $40 million was for the NAACP defense to train voting rights lawyers. Like, that's going to do some good. Look it up. Look it up. I don't want nobody to take nothing I say as fact. Look it up.
So you don't think it was done to... because it hurt Mumia, and that's what they wanted to do.
Yes. That's why, that's how they got rid of Debo Abdul-Deli. Mumia is this government's number one boogeyman. If they want to get rid of a powerful black man, associate him with Mumia, and all the niggas going to run to the hills.
Which is what I heard he did when he saw Pam Africa. The other thing I wanted to ask is, okay, since you're saying that they could have, Mumia's, and I just learned Mumia's attorneys aren't even getting paid. So
they do get paid.
Even if
they say it's pro bono, they write it off. They write, you know, they get paid for their time, their effort, whatever the case may be. They say it's not being paid, but believe me, they getting paid.
Yeah, I would think so too. So you're saying because of the billable hours, I guess they get to write whatever their fee is, they get to write it off on their taxes.
That's right.
Okay. So, but my point is, let's get back to assigning bail. I mean, if that's such a basic thing, why don't you think they asked for that? Because wouldn't Mumia being out certainly help them with the case?
If Mumia was out, he wouldn't need them no more.
Well, he still would need lawyers to fight the appeal.
Yeah, but he'd have enough people out here to show him that them lawyers been killing him.
Okay.
You know how long this has been on my mind? How long I've been sitting on this? How long I've been not wanting to say anything? But, man, you just can't keep going. I mean, every time, you know what I'm saying? How can they not, when the court's talking about they didn't preserve an issue on the batch and stuff when they locked up one of Mumia's lawyers, Rachel Wilkinson. They locked her up, and when this new batch of lawyers coming, they wouldn't even bring it up. They allowed the court to say that you waived that because you didn't preserve it, you didn't bring it up. And they had this woman, of course, she brought it up Sable, they locked her up, and you mean to tell me that these new lawyers don't know that, didn't know that?
We don't know what they know. So what would you suggest that they do, Mumia, do now, being that the Supreme Court?
Now I have no fucking idea. I'm rattling my brains. I'm calling everybody I know to see how we can deal with this situation. You know what I mean? Because it's got to be up to him. You know what I mean? As long as he don't get rid of them rotten-ass fucking lawyers, ain't nothing nobody can do. That's just how it is.
All right. Thank you, Sister Gwen. Let's go to the next question, caller. And family, again, we gave a warning earlier tonight that we was bringing it raw, real, and live. This is not to offend anyone or anything like that, but it is our position and intention to tell the truth. And what that means is, as Brother Raj has said it, and I've known it for a while, I didn't know the extent of what it is until recently when he really broke it down to me. I knew it was some things because he's been writing about certain things without really, you know, going in depth, but I knew that some stuff was going on. And I think others did too, but it wasn't our place. I wasn't in it like that. I do what I do based on me doing what I do and knowing Mumia before any of this happened. So I have a right that I'm taking and have taken over the years. So, but now we're at a point where whoever it is, whatever it is, people got to stand up now for real, because this is so blatant. And whether you knew Mumia or know him or whatever, if you have any sense of justice, then there has to be some responsibilities now in terms of, if you say you black, and yes, I said black, for all these people that be talking all this stuff about that, I'm almost getting ready to say something that Brother Rise would say, but I'm not going to say it. But the point is, whatever you call yourself, if it's about justice, get up, say something, do something, or shut up. That's where we're at with this. This is 40 freaking years? Come on. It's time
to
stand up and say something. Hold on, Brother Rob. Yeah, let me bring in another caller. I'm going to come back to you. You're going to have the mic. You go ahead.
Okay,
hold on.
Okay, I'm going to present a question to the audience.
Okay,
go ahead.
Caller at 1559. 1559. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Peace and blessings to the New Day family. This is Sister Keisha on the line. Shout out to Brother Rasakhan. I mean, dropping bombs. Nothing but bombs. Oh, what's up, brother? Yo, listen to what you're saying,
no,
because
Monday.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We'll
I'm sorry.
See each other
I'm sorry.
On Monday. But listening from what you're saying, because clearly there is a need to open up proceedings, disciplinary action with these attorneys if they are operating in conjunction with, you know, the governmental cartel, the way I like to explain. People have to realize that Philly is the first U.S. capital, right? So in the first U.S. capital, they are in breach of their very own charter of existence. This thing is just bigger than, you know, Mumia becoming free. Just listening to the legal breakdown of what you're giving here. So I can understand why there was a switch in legal representation and a conflict with Brother Mumia possibly understanding what is really being done on the outside. I think that, in my humble opinion, that those who deem themselves to be activists and agitators in the city of Philadelphia or the state within itself need to respectfully humiliate legislation there to at least open up a media eye so that everybody can see the contradictory that is happening in his case right now. The mere fact that you said that the judge said that the evidence is clearly there for them to open this thing up again, that means the city and the state within itself is in breach of its own charter, if I'm understanding the law correctly here. Could be wrong. I ain't a lawyer, but I'm just basing it off of what you're saying to me. So as Dr. Fillet always say, you know, those who claim to be about it, this should be your number one priority. Why? Because with the release, with a new trial or the release of Mumia, it opens up the well of reparations using
yes.
this case. So this
yes.
should be the priority for all activists in Philadelphia, in my humble opinion. I could be wrong. Like I said, I ain't a lawyer. I'm just basing it off of what has been said tonight. That's just my opinion.
Good opinion.
Go ahead, Brother Rise.
Oh, okay. That was a good, you got a good opinion. But now I would ask all those individuals out there that was following Mumia's case, why would Faulkner have to go to the state's attorney to get them to move Krasner off of Mumia's case if they felt like Krasner was doing a good job as far as they was concerned? You know what I mean? With that King's Bench, that 6 month King's Bench thing did was give them time to intervene, get in there, and get Tucker moved. You know what I'm saying? Because even if it went right back down, Tucker had to get it back. What they wanted to do was to make sure Tucker got no more cases like that. Yeah, they moved him up, gave him a better job, gave him 40, 50 judges working under him, but he'll never see another case like that. Now, why would the Faulkner people say that Krasner should be removed if they thought he was, good for them? I mean, it's just common sense. They needed that time, and they got it. The lawyers gave it to them.
And just for point of clarity, Krasner is the present district attorney here in Philadelphia. And again, just to recap, the previous judge, Leon Tucker, what Roz is saying, again, I want everybody to be as perfectly clear as possible. In 2018, Judge Tucker was presiding over this case, and at that time determined there was enough new evidence for Mumia to have a new trial. Now, from there, he was then moved to another post. And the case went to another judge. The judge that it went to ultimately was the one that you all are familiar with, Judge Lucretia Clemens. So again, going back to last year, when she first came into the picture, she then, and I'm going to fast forward and give it back to Roz in a minute, but she then indicated that she would do a decision, which was recently happened on March 31st. Now, of course, there were two other appearances prior to that, and one of them, she literally gave them permission or opened the door for the lawyers, that is, to look at other boxes that they had not looked at before. But even back to 2018/19, Judge Tucker had already indicated that there was enough there for him to have a new trial in. So what we're trying to get folks, not trying, what we're making sure folks get and understand is some of what has actually happened right before your eyes. And because the Negroes here in Philly are bought and sold, the ones that do know this kind of stuff, they ain't going to tell you. And again, because I've seen this thing for more than 3 decades up close and personal, I can tell you exactly who these people are. Now, that's on that end of it, because that's the only end of it that I play with, that I deal with. All the other stuff, I'm, I listen, I participate, none of that, but that's somebody else's ballgame. So I'm giving you the part that I know specifically. So, Sister Keisha, you've heard me say on numerous occasions how these Negropeans, and I'm putting it mildly, how they operate. Now, you mentioned, Sister Keisha, that this is the first, Philadelphia is the first capital of the United States. It's where the first White House was. It's where George Washington had his slaves and all of that. First. It's also the home of the Brule. The Brule was born in Philadelphia. And I'm not talking no fictional stuff, no fictional stuff. I'm talking about for real, documented and everything. So if y'all don't think that that stuff doesn't mean anything, particularly when Mumia was one of the 10 most up-and-coming people in Philadelphia. And when he went against that, they was like, oh, Negro, no. Oh, no. We don't give you that kind of accolade. And then you turn around and start talking about some moves.
That's right. And sister, not to check, interrupt your wisdom, but this is what I mean. Here, to open, not just, the case is more than just about Mumia. As I said, it relates to reparations because here you have a media journalist, right, an investigative journalist at the time, Brother Mumia, going against the first capital of the United States. So you have a descendant of the enslaved going against the descendant of the enslaver. So now when you have the two judges, one who said there was already enough evidence there, the other one said there's some boxes that y'all can look into, and then you still have his current legal representation not bringing that into play, and the state within itself not honoring those two judges' rules and opinions. They are in breach. Something is wrong here. Now, I ain't sit under Attorney Maddox and ain't learned nothing.
I know that's right. All right, sis. Well, as you can tell, I think you're going to have to get Brother Rise on Thorough Black Talk real soon. And again, our appeal now, all right now, our appeal is to black folks, y'all. That's our call. We have black lawyers, paralegals, people, researchers like Sister Keisha. We have a whole slew of folks. Can we get 1 hour? 1 hour a month, if possible. A week would be excellent, but a month to help us see. Again, Brother Rise is doing the work. He needs help. We need help. I do Recharge Genocide 21. Been doing it for 5 years now. And the reason, again, is to keep it black. With no chaser, none of the groups, for the most part, come with the specifics of that, like that. I don't bring in no other entities, period. And so being in Philadelphia, we have cited the bombing as a genocidal act from 1985, and as Sister Keisha just said, we are able to cite, and as Brother Ross said, human rights violations as demonstrated by way of constitutional and civil rights violations. But because we are the children of Brother Malcolm also, we're taking it to that other level too. And for those people, and Sister Keisha, you know what I'm talking about when I say this. For those people who want to give you that lip service about, oh, y'all talking about going to the United Nations, that ain't going to do nothing, that ain't going to mean nothing. Y'all need to go home, do what y'all do, and leave us to hell alone. And let us do what we do. Stay in your lane.
Oh. Because the Creator opens doors.
That's right, brother. That's right. But we got people that be getting in our freaking way.
That's it.
Because they don't want to do that work. So stay right there. We're going to bring in one or two more coming right in. Okay, caller at 9498. Are you ready yet? caller at 9498. Your mic is open. Okay. I'm not coming back to you, so moving right along. All right, let's go to, hold on. Okay, caller at 946Q. 9462, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Dara Pupo. La la o.
Come on, mama,
la,
come on. Come on, come
all
on.
All praises to y'all doing this, and I am so proud. My, you know me, I tend to be solution-oriented, and I see, this is just one suggestion, I have several. The way we organized people and brought them by the million to the city when we were working on the death row part of Mumia's case, this time I would suggest we bring it in paper and pencil and signatures, that we have a mass affidavit writing campaign. Everybody who supports Mumia file a minimum of one page and no more than two page affidavit citing all the things that are the reasons he should be released and have been released, and bring the law and charges against those who played any role, which includes and majorly focuses on his attorneys for what they've done and how they've broken the law, what their charges should be, and what the consequences should be. This was part of what I had to do in my case when fraudulent charges were brought against me, three felonies, and I was by myself and I had to fight it. I have no legal training, no law, but I do have common sense, and that's what wins cases in our cases. Brother Razakhan, I am so excited. It's been years since we've seen each other, you and I and Sister Pam. But I am really tickled that y'all are continuing to keep moving. As y'all know, I'm blind now. So all I can do is make the suggestions and the strategy based on work I've done. I'm not asking anybody to do anything I haven't done myself. So I would love to see us pull that type of strategic support, because the affidavits, trust me, do work, and they override whatever lawyers do. You can still override their actions, and also know that what we do will have more power and strength, because lawyers are attached to and committed to the oath they took. And the oath they took was to the system, not to the
officers
clients.
Of the court.
That's
thank
right.
You.
Officers of the court.
I mean to cut you off, but that's what they're proud of that. They are officers of the court.
Yes. So we have to do it for ourselves. I had to do it in spite of my attorney. I had to do it myself. That's why I'm out right now. That's why I'm free of three felons. So I think that that might be a good project for us to work on in terms of getting Mumia out and help him write some affidavits for himself. And all he got to do is sign them. That's what I do now with brothers and sisters.
All right, good, thanks. All right, family, well, we got suggestions here. I hope you all are taking notes.
What happened?
And
you can't hear me?
Oh, I hear you now.
I was right in the middle of the... Oh,
you said you stopped. It cut off. I thought you were done.
Oh, okay. Well, that's no surprise there. we can meet again outside this venue. Y'all know how to get in touch with me, and I'll be more
all
than
right,
willing
Mama Candy.
To let y'all benefit from my experience.
Ashe. All right, family, we're going to take one more call, and then we're going to go back to Brother Rise and finish up. What I do want to share is recently there was a hearing. It took place in Atlanta that dealt with political prisoners, and I meant to ask Sister Gwen if she was – I meant to tune into that, and I didn't get the opportunity, and I was wondering if Sister Gwen actually got a chance to check it out. But the point that I want to make to everyone is also that in July we will be doing our Recharge Genocide 21 Queen Mother Moore Weekend. And we're going to be presenting what some of our actions are with the Recharge Genocide 21. And as Sister Keisha mentioned, one of our strategies happened to be is similar to what some of that she just said and some of that Mama Connie just said as well. We're looking at reparatory justice, not just in the context of a check or some other things that people are talking about, but what about the release of our political prisoners as a part of reparatory justice? This is something that can happen right now. While we're going back and forth with some of the other stuff, that can happen right now. And particularly given the fact that we've already seen several of our political prisoners have been freed. So again, for July, that's one of the things, if it hasn't happened by then, that we'll be bringing forward, is the release of our political prisoners as a form of the We Charge Genocide 21 reparatory justice remedy. We have a short-term and a long-term strategy, an agenda and demands. Short-term is the release of our political prisoners. That could be an act of good faith, goodwill. While we're working on some of the other stuff, that's something that can happen right now. So that's one of the things we'll be sharing as we proceed. Let's go to caller. Hold on. You are at 4481. 4481, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment, A New Day. Okay, we're not waiting for folks tonight. 4481, your mic is open. Okay, let's go back to Brother Roz. All right, Brother Roz, coming back to you.
Okay.
Let's go ahead. Yeah, wherever you want to pick up at, let's go.
No, man, you know, it's so damaging, you know what I mean? The things that they've done to him. And moving is a paralegal itself. I'm lost for words. I thought it was some kind of strategy behind it. You know, that's why I was so hesitant about speaking out. But, man, I just can't hold this no more. You know what I mean?
Right.
He should have been out years ago
on
a couple occasions. You know what I'm saying? And a lawyer can't say they had a special strategy that they was trying to use. And you can't have a strategy that's a detrimental to your client. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But now his only avenue could possibly be ineffective assistance of counsel. I don't know. You got a right to effective assistance of counsel on a right as an appeal. But once you go up the ladder, you don't have to have effective assistance of counsel. If your counsel ain't no good, he just ain't no good. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But we're going to look into this situation. But it was so outright damaging, the things that they did to his case. You know what I mean? Maybe we can charge him with fraud or something. You know what I mean? Misrepresentation or something. We'll look it up and find out how we can get them. Back and let him do that. You know what I mean? And you can sue lawyers. Yeah, you can sue judges. They tell you that. You know, they got absolute immunity and qualified immunity and all that old kind of stuff. They do. But the law says they got that as long as they were in their parameters of the law.
You can't. They can't mm-hmm. break the law and still have absolute or qualified immunity.
Mm. Okay.
We got to get law. And then, I'm telling them, just like, well, all the constitutional scholars, I don't know. But the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade, they had no authority to do that. You know, they got the Sixth Amendment. People look it up. The Sixth Amendment says that federal law supersedes all state rights, period. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Because there was
mm-hmm.
so much bullshit going on. The states can manipulate. They gerrymander. They kill people. They make individuals afraid to vote. So much stuff. You know what I mean? So once Congress passes the law and it goes across the nation federally, nobody can change it, not unless they have a constitutional convention. 38 states got to vote on it, not the Supreme Court.
Mm.
And they are
mm.
not above the law. They are allowing them to be the butt, like they did with Trump. I mean, the reason why nothing is happening to Trump, when he first got in office, he committed treason in front of the world. He got in front of the world and told the FBI, he said, yeah, I know y'all said Putin is a bad guy, but Putin said he ain't. So I believe Putin. And then go in a secret meeting with Putin and tell the people you can't hear or see none of the transcript. And I said, man, these people got to be out their fucking mind. And nobody, and you know, yes, Trump thinks he can do whatever he wants because he done did it. He done committed treason in front of the world and ain't done nothing. And now they gonna try to send him to jail because some broad he done bought. I mean, it's just ridiculous to me.
All right.
And I want some people, all I ask them, don't prove me wrong. Yeah, they talking about hurting my feelings. That would really hurt my feelings. Prove me wrong. Because that's how I learned too.
All right. Woo! All right, family. Well, here we are. Now you kind of know, no, not kind of know, you do know, some very key things. I mean, this has been as clear as I think anybody can get with bringing you information. And again, as a sidebar, as Brother Roz mentioned, he's not a lawyer. He's not trying to act as one. He is, of course, a certified paralegal, but he's merely providing information as a form of communications, and that's what we do here at New Day. We are a media communications network that's linked to other networks. Big shout out to Brother Lee Robinson, Africa on the Move. That's one of our communication people, Brother Rise, because we're asking our folks, those who are writers, those who do TV, radio, any kind of publication, we're asking if they will give once a month us time to report something about Mumia. And so Brother Lee and Africa on the Move, he has another entity that he does on TV and another entity that he does called Missing Pages of History. He's agreed to at least once a month. And this is what we're asking our people to now do. Give us once a month, those who are in media or some other forms of communication, to make sure that we are providing updates and ongoing kinds of information about Mumia Abdul-Jabbar. And so Brother Lee and our family there have already agreed. We're going to be asking Sister Keisha. We're going to be asking, there's a couple of folks here in Philly, interestingly enough.
Oh,
Brother Jamar, he's already on board. What'd you say, Brother Oz?
When you need me, just let me know. You know, I'll be running around doing a whole lot of things, but when you need me, let me know.
You know I will. I definitely will. All right, family, listen, before we let Brother Roz go, is there any more questions or comments? If so, press 1 now because we're getting ready to close out. I think I see Brother Adrian in queue who is going to bring us the information about the sister who was abused verbally and to some degree almost physically by an off-white man in Louisiana. So do you have another question or comment, thought? Press 1 now if you do. All right. Going. So, Keisha, are you still there? Do I still have you? Okay. I might have lost Sister Keisha. Okay. Gone. All right, family. Moving right along. All right, Brother Roz, listen. Well, hold on 1 minute. I thought I saw Brother Adrian. I'm not seeing him now, so let me check again. Brother Adrian, you need to press 1 so I can see you. I thought I did. Okay. And so before we let you go, Brother Roz, how can people connect with you and you know, get more information about the work that you're doing and also, you know, any way that they can possibly help? How can they connect with you?
Just email me, nationtimejr@outlook.com. And we are having a fundraiser for Dr. Matula Shakur, May the 5th. Walnut Street at the Rotunda. Please come. If you can't come, send a donation.
Is there any way they can donate for that, Brother Roz, if they can't, you know, because we got people who's not from Philly or not around Philly. So is there a way that they can donate?
Just log into the event page on Facebook, Dr. Matula Shakur, and all the information is there. Just send him something. You know,
okay,
where you are.
Okay. Brother Roz, hold on 1 minute. I think Brother Lee was trying to get through. Let me see if I can open up his mic. There might be something wrong with, you know, I've been asking people to press 1, and I think something might be going on where I'm not seeing it. So hold on 1 minute. Let me check to see if, Brother Lee, is that you?
Yes, can you hear my sister?
All right. Were you trying to get through?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Yes. You got a question or a comment for Brother Roz?
I just want to make a comment, and he can, you know, respond to accordingly. It just sounds like to me this whole case and what's going on with Mumia is a continuation of a COINTELPRO. I would just like for you to respond to that.
Would you repeat that, please, so I'll make sure I understand exactly what you're saying?
Yeah, I think his case sounds like he's a victim of and continuation of the COINTELPRO program.
Oh, he is. Ain't no question about that. Ain't no question about that. They never stopped. And believe it or not, if you send him a donation, you'll be COINTELPRO be on your case, too. I mean, that's how they work. You know what I mean? Not only do they want the individual, they want anybody that might want to help him. So we're all in danger, so to speak. But that's what we live for. That's what we work for. You know what I mean?
The creator's
in charge. I ain't thinking about it myself.
All right, Brother Lee. Did you get a chance to talk to Sister Gwen yet?
I called her number and left a message for the sister a couple times, so hopefully she'll respond back. I know she was on tonight, so if she hear my voice, you just have her give me a call, because I have called her and left a message on the phone.
Okay. All right. And so, family, what's going to happen,
look,
just so you'll know?
Empress.
Yes.
Ask the brother, can you come on the show tomorrow? And talk for a few minutes on the case or after going to move.
Well, you got him. You asked him.
I'll be on the road. We got to be in New York
Attorney at War Alden Maddox's services is Monday. So
That's
I'll be
right.
on the road tomorrow, and I'll be in New York Monday morning. But I'll try to check in as often as I can, brother. Believe me.
So,
all right,
so
then I'll get your number for Anthony to give you a call.
Yep, yep. We can schedule him for next Sunday. Let's try to do that.
Okay.
All right. That'll work.
All right. Okay. All right, Brother Lee. Thank you.
All right. Forward.
All right. I do see Brother Adrian in queue, and I'm going to come to him just in case he has a question or a comment for you, Brother Rise, and I'm pretty sure he do because he'd be following this with Mumia. Hey, Brother Adrian, how you be tonight,
brother?
Hey,
can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Yes,
okay,
loud and clear.
I just want to make a mention that Mumia Abu-Jamal has been one of our bright shining stars for decades, and this is why it's incumbent upon black men in particular, but black people in general, to try to get him out of that hellhole. He's represented on for decades when he was on death row, writing books, teaching college courses in political science and speaking at commencements. So we have to be, and raising his family, staying married to his wife, staying dedicated to his children and grandchildren, and this is why it's becoming upon us to try to work towards getting this brother out of jail, because he's been in there 42 years. If you count up the years, the decades, the minutes, the weeks, the seconds, the minutes, the months that he's been in prison for a crime that is proven that he didn't commit, according to DNA testing, according to police reports, according to witnesses that were never interviewed. This is why we in our community have to work towards trying to get him out of prison, because we know the prison industrial complex is just secondhand slavery.
Ashe. Ashe. And by the way, family, Brother Adrian, over there in Louisiana, he's one of our We Charge Genocide reps. So, again, you'll be hearing more from him as we proceed and getting ready for July. Brother Adrian, I'm looking for Senator Barrow, and I'm Senator Barrow, if you can hear me, you need to press 1 so I can get ready to bring you in to join us for this next segment. Okay. All right. I just need for her to press 1 so I can see her. Okay. There she is. All right. We're going to close out with Brother Roz. Brother Roz, of course, again, there's an event coming up on Sunday, this coming, not tomorrow Sunday, but next Sunday, May 5th. And again, it's a tribute and also a fundraiser for Dr. Matula Shakur, who, of course, is now home, but certainly has some health issues. And, of course, we're going to also be talking about Mumia Abu-Jamal. I will be there. Who else is going to be there, Brother Roz?
Seko Odinga. Matula will be calling in. Ahmed Muhammad. I can't think of everybody right this minute. Kalonji, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But we got John Da, Sister Ethel, there's another sister. She's a writer, a poet. I can't think of her name right this minute. I don't have that right in front of me. You know what I mean? But
okay, well,
we
just,
have
just give me up
few,
a little bit. Ethel Parrish.
Yeah,
okay,
Ethel
Parrish.
Yeah.
Is of course also an original Panther. For those who don't know, Seko Odinga, of course, is a former political prisoner and also a Panther. And let's see, who else did you mention that I'm familiar with? And of course, you mentioned Dr. Muhammad Ahmed, of course, also known as Mac.
That's right.
Yeah, Mac Stanford, of course, Ram, and so many other movements. So we got some. So there's going to be some serious folks there, y'all. And again, I want people to just be more aware, because I just had an incident recently for MWM where I just had, I think it was probably an agent sent in And so we're going to give you more information about that a little later on. Fortunately, we were able to nip it in the bud before it really got as bad as it could have been. But be careful about who you're letting into your groups and organizations now, because these people, a lot of them, they are smart. That, I mean, when I say smart, they can give you all kinds of Black history information and so forth. But listen, we're going to let Roz go because I hear a lot of noise coming in on somebody's end. So, Brother Roz, thank you again, and I will see you next Sunday.
I appreciate the invite. Man, thank you.
Say it again.
I said I appreciate the invite. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, we look forward to having you back real soon.
Okay, good.
All right, brother. Give my sister a hug.
All right. Okay, I will.
All right. Thank you. All right, family, moving right along. That was Brother Raza Khan. And for those who do not know, he is also the mate, the husband of Mama Pam, okay? And, you know, she's really, you know, kind of keeping her voice or her throat as less active, which is why you haven't heard her lately, because she was having some issues with her throat. It's getting better now, but she's, you know, she has to kind of not be as, you know, using it as much until it heals to the fullest. So, again, you'll be hearing from her soon. She's getting ready for y'all. But for now, you know, we're trying to keep her from using it quite as much. All right, we got Brother Adrian in queue, and I thought I saw Senator. Hold on, let me check. Who's that coughing? Let me take that off of the mic there. Okay. Hold on, I'm looking for. Okay, I do see her. All right, Brother Adrian, you there with us?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, before we bring the senator in, I want to kind of give you the opportunity to kind of give a backdrop on what it is we're getting ready to talk about and why.
Look, there was a dispute over a bill, a verbal altercation, and it was over where the senator Stuart Cathy Jr., opposed a bill to take $7.5 million out of East Baton Rouge Parish. That's the Black area where, you know, for those of you who are in Philadelphia, out of the parish, which would hurt the public school system in East Baton Rouge Parish, where it would also hurt the sheriff's department, and it would also hurt some of the teachers because there's some vacancies. Because this bill would allow more vacancies, which means you would lay off more people. And the total bill was $7.5 million. The sheriff department would have been affected. The East Baton Rouge Parish public school system would have been affected. And several other entities would have been affected. But State Senator of Louisiana, Regina Barrow, opposed that bill because Stuart Cathy Jr., who is a Republican, did not talk, according to my research, did not talk to the other representatives about what would he be doing with this bill. The current mayor, Sharon Weston Broome, who is a former state senator, Darius Lanis, who's over the EBR parish school system, a certain segment of it, and several other Black elected officials that Stuart Cathy Jr. did not talk to about taking $7.5 million out of East Baton Rouge Parish school districts that will hurt the public school system as well as the sheriff department and other entities. And State Representative Regina Barrow opposed the bill, and Stuart Cathy Jr., a Louisiana senator, pointed his finger in his face in State Representative Regina Barrow's face and cursed her out, among other things. So that's what a lot of these issues are about, because you have individuals that want to harness not only money but also power and control. And that's what some of these things are about.
All right, family. So now you have the backdrop to what it is we're talking about and why. And before we bring the senator in so that she can tell you herself exactly what happened and her response and so forth, I just want to share again, sisters, if we do not begin to step up and get each other's backs, other people are going to continue to disrespect us in every way possible. Now, what did Brother Malcolm say? That the black woman is the most disrespected person on the planet. Well, in America, really. I mean, that's what he really said. And I'm still paraphrasing. But he said specifically, the black woman is the most disrespected person in America. Now, why would that black man, that great black man, feel the need to say that? And here we are with these other people who making sure that they continue that kind of thought process in the way that they do. The point is, sisters, black women, we need to stop this madness. I mean, we put a lot of emphasis on a lot of other stuff, and I'm not saying we shouldn't. But we definitely better start getting one another's back and stop trying to stab each other in the back so much. Anyway, I digressed. Let's get ready to open up the mic and welcome the first time here for New Day, and hopefully not the last, but I'd like for everyone to meet Senator Regina Barrow, who is now with us. We thank Brother Adrian for reaching out to her and bringing her into the New Day family. And we're going to now listen to what actually happened and what needs to now happen. Before we do, family, I advise everyone, if you're listening through the internet, through the live stream, you need to switch over to the podcast because you're going to lose the internet stream in about 5 minutes. So, but you can stay with us for the podcast if you call 319-527-6189. Again, 319-527-6189. And again, a big shout out to our sister ambassador, Sheila Brown, who is in Geneva, because again, we're talking about doing this United Nations thing, y'all, and we're really serious about it. Anyway, let's go to our live line and welcome Senator Regina Barrow in the house. Greetings to you, my sister.
Greetings, my sister, and thank you so much for the invitation. And thank you, Adrian, for bringing me on. I'm excited to be here and to speak about this matter.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Senator, the mic is yours, Senator, and please feel free to share. You know, we're no holds bar here, so, you know, we are live internet. We don't have to yield to FCC regulations, so feel free to explain, convey in whatever way you like.
Well, Adrian did a great job of really conveying the essence of what happened. And so normally, you know, in the legislature, you don't have to let people know what bills you file. But as a common courtesy, typically we do, especially when it affects the person's district that you are attempting to introduce this legislation or potentially change the law in somebody's district. And so this was about the rail company. Actually railroad tracks throughout the state, and the hub or where the taxes are collected is in Baton Rouge. This was done nearly 50 years ago. And as I understand it, they made Baton Rouge, which is the capital city, the hub becomes the capital city. And so we found out that there was this money that potentially they could get from the railroad company, and decided to come in and take that money from East Baton Rouge Parish. In essence, it would be $7.5 million, which was going to happen like literally as soon as session was over, which is at the end of June, mid-June. And all of a sudden, we could have lost $7.5 million. And as he said, from our school system, from the sheriff's office, from EMS, from our seniors, because it was going to affect our Council on Aging, mental health programs, as well as programs with the city. So it was going to have detrimental impact immediately to the city of Baton Rouge. And so when we saw each other in the very beginning, you know, it was like, I was like, what are you doing? He was like, well, you know, we saw this money, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, we're not going to just let you just come in and take the money. Because he was like, well, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here about this bill because, you know, this is a lot of money to come out of our parish overnight. And that's when I said, you know, there are some things that Baton Rouge Parish actually, there are other expenditures that we take on for the state that we eat because we are the capital city. So I said, if we want to do this, you know, if you want to play this game, then the things that we are now eating from the other parts of the state, then everybody can start having their pro rata share. And so that was the conversation we had prior to. Well, after the debate and the mayor spoke, as he stated, some of my colleagues, some other legislators spoke, the school board member, I was standing at the back of the room because I know the mayor, who was a former senator. She is actually, I'm her protege. And so I was waiting for her to come out. As I'm standing there, you know, every time I talk about this, it really does something to me because it's hard for me. I'm still having a hard time really wrapping my mind around him having the audacity to put his finger in my face so close that if I had to just move my head just one half of a split of a inch up, he would have hit me in my face and said, they effing lied to you. And I was like, wait a minute.
That's on record.
And I was like, wait a minute. Did he just curse me and, you know, put a thing in my face? Because I've been in the legislature 18 years. I've never had anyone to disrespect me to that level. Certainly. And, you know, there are some times that become contentious because, you know, just as he may be passionate about something, I'm just as passionate about it. And so, you know, there are times when things get heated, but no one is level at that level of disrespect. And I could not believe that he had the audacity to put his finger in my face and then curse at me and say they effing lied to me. So after about probably less than a split second, I realized what had happened because he did it and then he walked off. So I followed behind him. I said, no, what's going to be an effing problem is you putting your finger in my face. So he turns around and comes back to me and says, what did you say? What's going to be an effing problem is you putting your effing hand in my face. And I put my finger then in his face because I was like, you know, in my mind, I was like, just touch me.
So that
was an exchange. And I have to tell you, you know, when you get that angry, you really don't remember everything that happened. And I don't remember everything that happened. All I do remember is him coming back towards me because I was like, oh, he's coming back towards me again? I said, okay. Now it's really about on because I started walking towards him too. He was walking towards me and I started walking towards him. And then the mayor, the former senator, she came out and she said, what is this? She said, I've never seen I've never seen this happen before. She's like, where's the decorum? And you know, that's always been a amount of respect that we've had in that body, especially on the Senate side. You know, in the Senate, you just carry yourself a certain way. And it's at that point then the sergeant at arms came out and other people came out and kind of broke us up. But, you know, I have still in my mind thinking to myself, I cannot believe, you know, he had the audacity to do that. And then it tells me a lot about who he is. Because if your first and your response was to do that to a woman, a black woman, then that tells me a lot about what you think about women, and then especially black women.
Yes.
Why are you trying to take $7.5 million out of a district that they didn't discuss with her or other constituents beforehand?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's a common courtesy. I mean, that's what we normally do. I told, you know, I said, if I was taking $7.5 million from your district, I said, would you be down here? And then he was like, yeah. Now, this was all before the altercation took place. This was the conversation we had before, because he was like, why are you here? What do you mean why I'm here? I'm here because you're trying to take $7.5 million away from my district. And so, again, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money, and it would be almost like immediately within the next budget cycle, you know, that money would have been snatched out. And in essence, it, you know, according to the school system, it would cause like a whole school to almost close. It would cause a whole substation to close in terms of police safety. It would cause in terms of meals for seniors. It would affect meals for senior entire year. The cost could actually affect for entire year. And then, you know, of course, mental health and other services that the city provides. I mean, it was going to have a grave impact.
All right. Well, my sister, I'm so glad to hear that you stood your ground, as they say. And, you know, again, in sharing this information with our family, it's so important that we realize that in this day and age, here we are in the 21st century, and here there are people who are elected officials, people who you think have a certain, you know, a mannerism or decorum or whatever, but obviously that doesn't necessarily mean anything when it comes to us, obviously. So, that's clear.
I do want to mention what happened the next day. So what really, you were talking about what Malcolm X said in terms of a level of distance to the black woman. I really appreciate my brothers who actually showed up the next day at the state capitol. Along with some sisters to say, you know what, this level of behavior will not be tolerated. So within less than 24 hours, nearly 40 black males, along with a few females, showed up at the Capitol and came and stood with the rail to make sure that it was understood that that behavior would not be accepted. They didn't even have to open their mouth. Let me tell you, that moment was priceless. There's nothing that can actually capture to me the essence of what happened or transpired within that time and the level of respect that was demanded within that time. Yeah, that we will not allow this to ever happen again.
Ashe, wonderful, wonderful.
And just to let you know, MPC, all those black men wore solid black. They wore black T-shirts, black pants, black boots. To let everybody know, this is who we are. This is our stance that won't be accepted. And it happened in she said less than 24 hours. As far as I know, less than a week. And there's a...
I think it was 15 hours, 15, 16 hours, less about 15, 16 hours. They organized.
So that's less than a day.
In a day. Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. That's right.
And we will have follow-through that we will discuss, not on the program, because we know enemies may be listening, but there are some follow-through that will take place as well.
Oh, Shay. All right. That's so wonderful. Well, you know, sometimes it takes situations to happen in order to bring about the kind of unity or the kind of representation that we need to see. So, unfortunately, that happened to our sister, but you know, fortunately, look what has come from it. So, you know, as they say, we know how to take lemons and make not only lemonade, but now we know how to make vegan lemonade meringue pie.
I love it.
Absolutely. Well,
yes,
Senator, I thank you. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I thank you so much for sharing with us. And I'm looking forward to coming to Baton Rouge. I'm hoping that you will join us with the We Charge Genocide 21 campaign that we're bringing to your state to begin
okay,
to
awesome.
Examine. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing it by state to examine, you know, the 400-plus years of crimes against humanity that has been inflicted upon our people, but also
okay.
in present day or in more current day. And we want to document these things, be it law enforcement, be it education, what we call medical apartheid, gentrification. These are all areas of crimes against humanity. And we want our elected officials to now begin to really understand, overstand, as they say, why we're demanding not just reparations. I mean, that's a part of it. But we have
mm-hmm.
to talk about repair, restoration, you see,
yes.
of our families, community,
yes.
and with that healing. So I certainly look forward to talking with you more in the future and you know, you really being a part of this project. But also, I don't know if Brother Adrian told you, we're getting ready to do the Million Woman World March.
No, he did not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
So that's coming. Yes, that's coming
okay.
in October. And that will be the kickoff. It's coming this October for the U.S. The next year we're going to one of the CARICOM countries, and then we'll be in Africa. So we have a three-year projection.
Okay.
So this year we
awesome.
Kick it off in the U.S. Next year we'll be in either Trinidad, Tobago, or Barbados. And then the third year will be in Africa. So there's a summit with this, so that we can create our own Black women's political agenda all across the board.
I love it. Do you have the date? And where is it going to be in October?
I do, but I can't say yet, just yet. We're waiting, you know, for some finalization pieces.
Gotcha.
But I'll talk with you offline to answer some questions for you. Because certain things I can't make public just yet, because we've been infiltrated a few times, and so we learn now not to put out too much information too soon. But definitely,
okay.
we are connected now, and I thank Brother Adrian
again for
doing so. And again, you continue to stay strong, continue to fight, and stand in your ground.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for this opportunity. And the one thing I will say is we must, as you stated earlier, we must do that, and we must also be there for each other, you know, especially as Black
Absolutely.
Women. We need to be there.
Absolutely.
We need to be back, because if we don't, then, you know, who will? And we have to be the ones
That's
to
right.
do that. Although our
Absolutely.
Brothers showed up, and they showed up powerfully. Let me just say that. I need to say that. I cannot go off the radio without saying that they did, and they showed up powerfully. But we as sisters have to continue to have each other back as well. And as you say, don't tear each other down, but build each other up.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and as a sidebar, you know, I make it very clear, we don't do anything without our brothers. So we're not like other people. We're not into trying to separate us from our men and from our families, even though we say and talk about and work as women, because there's some things that only us women need to do. But that is
True.
Definitely no way to take us away from or exclude our brothers, our families, our communities. It is all inclusive. That's the difference with us. We are not, this is not about feminism. It's about African Black folk justice. That's what
Amen.
We focus on.
Amen.
Okay. I also
and
I
thank you for connecting us.
And I also
yes.
want to
well,
let people and
Brother
I also
Adrian.
Want to make this point that you can call 318-582-5524. That's the office of Louisiana State Senator Stuart Cathy Jr., who is out of Monroe, Louisiana. You can call 318-582-5524. 5524 or fax 318-582-5526 to say that this is unacceptable. And when I called, the lines were flooded. We need to continue to flood those lines. He apologized. We don't want your apology. We want our $7.5 million to help our district. So let's continue to put the pressure on as we do other things as well.
All right. Ashe. Thank you, Brother Adrian. And, you know, I just want to share with everyone, we wanted to do our tribute to the great Otten Maddox, and we're going to wait till next week and really do a full hour in commemorating his life and legacy. The services are, of course, on Monday, and so we'll be able to give you a whole kind of real full report from that. So we'll keep you posted as well. But Brother Adrian, I want to thank you again for sharing the information and definitely for introducing us to this beautiful sister. I feel her spirit, and I love it. I love it. And again, Senator, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so very much for the opportunity, and I look forward to meeting you in October, if not before.
Oh, it'll definitely be before.
Okay.
All right, family. All right, family, listen, we're going to close out now. Again, we've been talking with Brother Adrian in Baton Rouge and, of course, Senator Regina. And so we got a lot more we're going to be sharing with you in the next week. Of course, our sister is in Geneva, Sister Sheila Brown. And I'm doing a special session tomorrow that's connected to the UN. If you want more information about that, that particular session is going to be development and some other things relevant to the upcoming permanent forum. You know, the UN now has enabled a permanent forum for African people next year. Senator, I don't know if you're aware that next year is, of course, the closing out session for the decade for African people. Do you know a lot of our people don't know anything about that? We are literally almost 10 years into the International Decade for African People as declared from the United Nations. So that's why you're going to see me before October, because we need to make sure that our communities know about what that is, why it is, how that can benefit us, and be ready for the closeout session for next year. Okay? So
okay.
I'll make sure you get information about that, and we'll talk more about it in the next week or so to get Baton Rouge ready.
Okay. Well, I look forward to that.
Oh, indeed. All right, family, we are going to close out. Again, we thank everyone. You know, you hear us often on our radio program say, if there's no justice, there's no what, Brother Adrian?
There's no peace.
There's no peace. But let me tell you where we really got that from. That was oftentimes said by the great attorney, Otten Maddox, who is now, of course, an ancestor. And we're going to close out with Brother Malcolm. And see, I say Brother Malcolm because that's what he reminded me of in our day, Brother Malcolm. But of course, Brother Otten Maddox. And again, I want to thank Senator Barrow for joining us and definitely our Brother Adrian in the house. Family, we'll talk to you all next week. We thank you all. Listen, we are now in our 14th year. If you'd like to send a little donation, we appreciate it. We don't usually ask that, but it's our 14th year. Do something. Celebrate with us. You can send that donation to a Cash App at $HOT1111, or you can use our Gmail at nbhrproject@gmail.com. All right. Again, family, we thank you all, and we're out. But we're going to leave out with Brother Otten Maddox, now ancestor Otten Maddox. Peace out.
Thank you very much. At the outset, I want to assure any and everybody on this panel that I am not here for freedom. I am here because I am the leading voice in the black community. And I'm speaking for the black community. And I don't think nobody would quarrel with that. I'd like to give thanks to Attorney Glenn Victor Faye for giving me notice of this hearing on Attorney Gibson. I am the chairman of the United African Movement, which has a rich history of being involved in the criminal justice system, especially as a consumer watchdog. Consumer class in New York is disproportionately persons of African ancestry, and they also include black lawyers as well. This has been very interesting today. It's been interesting because so many things that we've talked about in the black community seem to transcend the black community. It seems as though there are people throughout this state who are adversely affected despite their backgrounds or their color or class. I invite this panel to engage in a give and take with me. I don't want anybody to back down. But while you are thinking about whether you should or not, I'd like to point out some things that were mentioned earlier in this hearing. One is that there's a concern about prostitutes. And my comment is that I'm the only lawyer in this nation, the only lawyer in this nation who has ever obtained two special prosecutors, one in Howard Beach and the other one in Kawana Brawley. Secondly, while we are contemplating whether we should be quizzed or not, I will bring out some matters on secrecy. I am the only lawyer ever in the history of New York who demanded and obtained a full public hearing on disciplined lawyers ever in the history of this state. So I think I have a few things to say if questioned about secrecy, if that is our concern. Third problem that I find here is one of what I call judicial gerrymandering. There's been much discussion today about people being treated differently in the various departments. Well, the department I'm concerned about is the first and second, because most blacks in New York live within the confines of New York City or its suburbs. The problem is that most of us, like Eric Garner, like Sean Bell, like Christopher Ridley, and so many others, live in the second department, where this department has been gerrymandered, so it has stacked all blacks in the judicial district so that they can be wholesale discriminated against, like in the case of John White out of Suffolk County, who sought to defend his family, but was told by the second department that Negroes have no rights that a white man is bound to respect. And this is the policy in the second department. And this is the reason why there's so many people coming here complaining. They may not be able to understand the terminology that's the applicant. But this is the situation, and it's a historical problem. And it's such a historical problem that I have been all of my life involved in the civil rights movement. From the time that I was in high school. That's been quite some time ago. And so I know very well about the issue of racism. And I know very well about the problem that black people have confronted and had to confront all of their lives. And so after the New York State Commission on Judicial Minority in 1991 said that New York was infested with racism. In fact, this is not somebody from the hood talking.
These are the most advanced whites that we have in New York, the privileged class. And they assembled, and in 1991, they said New York is infested with racism. This is such a deplorable condition that it should not be summarized in a summary hearing. There should be a plenary hearing. The mere fact that we are here in a summary hearing, giving people only 10 minutes to testify and then have no question asked, is in itself a miscarriage of justice. Rosa Parks is not here. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is not here. But if they were here, they would do what I am calling for now, as I have called for in the New York Amsterdam News this week. Blacks must boycott New York courts now. It makes no sense for another black defendant to go into a racist courtroom and expect justice. That makes no sense at all. Has come to an end. I'm not here to ask you or beg you or plead with you, because I never believe in plea bargaining. Clients came to my office and I said three things to black people. One, I'm never going to ask you what happened because you don't understand the language. I'm not going to ever ask you to take the witness stand because you may get tripped up. And I'm never going to ask you to plead guilty because I don't know what that is. The only thing I know to do in a courtroom is knock the door down from butt. That's the only thing I do know and the only thing I will ever know. And there's a reason why nobody will ever let me back in the courtroom again because they don't want any more butt with me. I end by saying that blacks must boycott New York courts now. I also, and that's in the New York Amsterdam News this week, I also say that judicial gerrymandering, apartheid justice, and that's what we're talking about here, judicial gerrymandering and apartheid justice, and it doesn't only relate to black people. It relates there, obviously, to everybody. And then everybody wants to sit up there and don't want to ask any questions, as a lady asked for some time ago. So will you please ask me a question? And nobody said a word. Finish your 10 minutes up. And so before you, Mr. Closer, get a chance to tell me to sit down, I'm going to take the liberty of doing it myself so you won't have the pleasure of asking all the maddox to sit down. Thank you very much.